Amen. What about it? Will you worship him this morning? Amen. He's worthy of our worship and our praise. Amen. Would you turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 1? Amen. We have most of our elders sick or with some other obligation this morning, and so we're going to have a little help here. Brother Cruz, won't you come help us? Amen. These are elders too, but then we have the elder elders. Amen. Matthew chapter 1. We've been in this series, Knowing God Through His Names, and for Christmas we've had a hiatus, and we're going to focus on the coming series, Knowing Jesus Through His Names. And we've been looking at just the names of Jesus revealed to us in the story of His birth. Let's read Matthew chapter 1. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. But as His mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with the child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. God with us. This morning we want to look at the name of Jesus, Emmanuel. And you may be aware or not aware, but this is one of the most popular names both for a church and a synagogue across the world, Emmanuel. Amen. Aren't you glad God is with us this morning? That changes everything about this service to recognize He is Emmanuel. Amen. Could you just lift your hands and thinking that He is Emmanuel, He is with us this morning. Would you just thank Him across this building? Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, we thank you, Lord, for your presence. We thank you for the initiative that you have taken to be in our midst. Lord, help us to have a growing awareness of your presence. And through the preaching of your revelation, may we sense your nearness in a greater way. Lord, somebody needs to know before they leave this place. Lord, know in their heart anew that you are the God who is with us. We thank you for that. Lord, move across this building. Move with the power of your Holy Spirit. God, anoint me to speak your eternal word. In Jesus' name, amen. Won't you shake hands with somebody before you're seated this morning? Emmanuel, in that little line on the bulletin where I always put some item of trivia, this morning I make note of, there was a time in our country that it was a tradition on Christmas Eve to tell ghost stories. Well, here's the thing. We rent some houses, and other people do too, and if you want to know horror stories, you get together with landlords, and they'll tell you some horror stories. It'll frighten you to death. But there's several times we've had to clean up a house that was just destroyed and trashed. I'll never forget one time it took 8 large garbage bags just to get down the few steps to the basement, just so you could get to the floor of the basement, because they just opened the door and throw trash in. And we took out 86 large bags of trash, and I put them on the curb, and people just drive by and look at it, and garbage men everywhere around, they won't even, you know, they don't like me to this day. I mean, it was just, the filth, the dirt, the human and animal filth. And I told my wife one time, we were going through that, and I said, you know, if you took a gun to my head and forced me to live in this kind of filth, I would literally go insane. I would. I'd go out of my head. Now, I want to tell you something. Get to thinking spiritually. Get to thinking of sin. And in the eyes of a holy God, this world was just as filthy. The way people thought, the way people's hearts and minds were, the way people lived was just as filthy to our God, to the Son of God. And yet nobody forced him. He came willingly and lived in this mess. He didn't just come living. He became a renter for 33 years. I want to tell you, that's the story of Christmas. Our holy Savior came and lived in the mess to save us from the mess. And I want to tell you, the greatest mess wasn't just the one we lived in. The greatest mess was the one within our hearts, within our minds. Aren't you glad that He has come to save us from this? And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory as the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Aren't you glad He dwelt amongst us? Hallelujah. Our Savior and our Lord. Amen. That prophet that was spoken of in verse 23, and they had waited, or verse 22, they had waited for the fulfillment of that prophecy. A virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel. That was the prophet Isaiah. The time frame was 800 years before this prophecy was fulfilled. And so for 800 years, the people of God had looked for this Emmanuel. They continued century after century looking for this Emmanuel. Who was Emmanuel? He was the promised one of God who would come to protect and provide for his people and to deliver them from the destructive forces in which they lived. For 800 years they waited. In Isaiah 7, you can look at it in its original. This is when he first spoke it. The Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and ye shall call his name Emmanuel. I want you to think of that. Century after century, decade after decade, looking for Emmanuel, looking for Emmanuel. Has he come? Has he come? Is he coming? Is he coming? Century after century, has he come? But one day, amen, someone said, has he come? And somebody else said, Emmanuel. Emmanuel. He has come. He is with us. He is among us. I'm telling you, the greatest thing isn't that he just came and lived among us. That's great in itself. But greater still is that he came and dwelt among us as one of us. As one of us. He dwelt among us. He is Emmanuel. Praise the name of the Lord. Have you ever waited for somebody? Is he here yet? Is he here yet? And the answer for us today is Emmanuel. He is God with us. During a medical emergency in public, many times in public, if somebody needs and requires attention, the question is asked, is there a doctor in the house? I'd like to ask it this morning. Is there a doctor in the house? And I'd like to answer it, Emmanuel. Is there a lawyer in the house? Emmanuel. Is there a counselor in the house? Emmanuel. Is there a deliverer in the house? Emmanuel. Is there a healer in the house? Emmanuel. Oh, God is with us. Hallelujah. He is here. That's what Christmas is about. Amen. Usually I have to give a definition of these words, but this time in the very scripture text that we read, amen, we have Emmanuel interpreted for us. We are told Emmanuel means God with us. But I want us to look at it differently than perhaps we have before. I want to take the three words from scripture, God with us. And first of all, I want us to emphasize it this way. God with us. God with us. Amen. God, and here's the wonder. Great is the mystery of godliness. Here's the wonder. God, without ceasing to be God, came among us. Not in a man, but as a man. Emmanuel. God became human. I'm telling you, we may not marvel a whole lot about that, but the apostles sure did. And I think of what the apostle John said in his epistle. He said, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the word of life, for the life, that eternal life, was manifested, and we have seen it and bear witness and show unto you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested unto us. John the apostle said, the Word was made flesh and we've handled Him. We have touched Him. Oh, hallelujah. How could they do that? Because He became a man. Even try to touch God physically right now, you can't do it. But God dwelt amongst us. And the apostles said, our hands have handled. When we touched His skin, we touched the Word of life. Hallelujah. When we heard His voice, we heard the voice of God. When we looked into His eyes, we looked into the eyes of God. Even think about it. Mary held God. I said, Mary held God. God cooed in Mary's arms and nursed at His breast. The disciples learned the intonations of His voice. They could see the callus, the carpenter calluses in His hands. Amen. They could see in His face the expressions as He taught and He looked at different people. Even after His resurrection, Thomas could see the gouge marks, the scars. Oh, why? Is it possible? Because it was God with us. Amen. God among us, as us. He walked among them. Amen. He walked among them. Think about that. God entered into their homes. God sat at their tables. God ate their food. God held their children on His lap. God walked the same roads that they walked. God visited the same marketplaces. God sat in their church, in their synagogues, with them. Oh, God with us. God with us. One of the great purposes of God becoming a man was to reveal Himself to mankind. You see, forever since man has turned from God, man's greatest quest has been to discover God, to find God. But man can't reason his way to God. Man can't philosophize his way to God. Through the arts, he can't find God. Amen. He just can't discover God. Amen. How's man going to know God? Amen. Because God, He solved that problem. He said, man, you can't come to where I am, but I'll come to where you are. You can't reason your way to me, so I'll walk in your midst. Amen. He came to reveal Himself. God came to man in a way man could know Him. Amen. We have heard the expression so often, a picture is worth a thousand words. Aren't you glad God didn't just send us a definition of Himself? Wouldn't that be great? Just a definition. No, He sent us a picture of Himself. Oh, glory to God. You say, how can you say that with a surety? Amen. Because Jesus said, He that has seen me has seen the Father. Amen. Philip saith unto Him, Lord, shew us the Father, and it sufficeth us. Jesus said, Philip, have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known that He that has seen me hath seen the Father? How sayest thou, show us the Father? Oh, Jesus was the photo, the picture. More than that, He really was God. But what people could see of His life, they were seeing God. Even as a man, they threw that woman caught in adultery at his feet. And what did he say to her? He said, neither do I condemn thee. Rise and sin no more. What were people were seeing? What were they seeing? They were seeing the mercy of God. They were seeing that God is merciful. He looked upon a crowd as sheep without a shepherd, even having nothing to eat for the day. And he was moved with compassion and he fed them. What were we seeing? What were they seeing? They were seeing that God, as was read this morning, is a God of great compassion. Amen. Amen. We see him. They saw him. And we see him as we read it. Amen. Loving Martha, loving Mary, and loving their brother Lazarus, raising him from the dead. Amen. Weeping. Amen. What were they seeing? They were seeing that he is a God who really, really loves folks. I mean, look at Jesus. He touches a leper. He weeps at a tomb. He raises the widow's son to life. What were we seeing? What were they seeing? Amen. They were seeing that God is someone who really, really cares. Amen. Read the gospel. Follow the journey of Jesus through human history, and you see God for who he is. God with us. Hallelujah. Amen. And then I want you to notice, secondly, this morning, let's emphasize it this way. God with us. God with us. You know, a question you might have that I had was, had not God been among his people before? I mean, did we read in the Old Testament that God had been among his people? Yes. God had been among the people, his people before, but not as a human. That's how Jesus is different. That's how, in the truest sense, Jesus is Emmanuel. God had been amongst the people before, not as a human. Before, when God showed up among the people, it was in a display of power. Think of it. Think of Mount Sinai. God showed up, lightning. This time when God showed up, it was, showed up as a baby? God had been amongst the people. God had been fire in the bush. God had been a cloud above the camp. God had been Shekinah glory past the veil on the mercy seat. God had even shown up as an angel. But this time, God shows up as a human baby. He had been in the fiery furnace. He had been in the lion's den. God had been on the mountain. God had been behind the curtain in the temple. God had been in the wind. God had been in the fire. Now God is in the manger. Great is the mystery. Wonder of wonders. Could you just say it with me? Emmanuel. Emmanuel. God with us. With humanity. He had a human body like we have. You say, how do you know that? He grew tired and thirsty. Do you remember that incident when he made that special journey, a divine encounter with that woman at the well of Samaria? How did that begin? His disciples went into the city to buy food. And listen to what it said. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being what? Wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well. And it was about the sixth hour. And that woman of Samaria came to him. He said to her, give me to drink. He was weary. He was thirsty. He got hungry. Not just that day, but in Matthew it says, and when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he afterward was hungered. He was hungry. You know, here's a great thing about this, and I haven't even used the word yet, this incarnation, God becoming flesh. And this is where I'm headed. He can relate to us. Some of you here this morning say, I don't know if I can make it till he gets through preaching. I am so hungry. I'm about to starve to death. Jesus knows. Jesus knows. He was hungered. This human body, He was a hunger. He had human emotions. John 11, I mentioned it in passing, but when Jesus saw her weeping, that's Mary, and the Jews also weeping, which came with her, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled. He said, "Where have you laid him?" And they said, "Lord, come and see." And Jesus wept. You see, I've been a mess this week. I've been upset. My emotions have been in a turmoil. Jesus experienced, God experienced human emotion. He has a human mind, lots of scriptures, but thinking of him as a child in Luke 2, and Jesus increased in wisdom and stature. He increased in wisdom. He learned things. He had a human mind. As God, he knew everything, but as a human, he increased in wisdom and knowledge. He learned things. He had a human will with its struggles. In the garden, he went a little further and he fell on his face and he prayed, saying, "Oh, Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, my human will, but as thou wilt." It's God with us, as us. That's the marvel of this thing. I do want to point out with the danger, perhaps of sounding theological, but it's important that we get it. He never stopped being God to become human. I said he never stopped being God to become human. He was still 100% God. Oh, hallelujah. But he didn't use that when he walked this earth. He didn't respond to things as God. He responded to them as the human that he was. He encountered them as the human was that he was. Even he never used his being God to cancel out the human experience, to soften the blows that we humans go through. For 33 years, it was God with us. He lived as one of us. What does that all measure up to, add up to? It means that God can relate to us. I said God can relate to us through Jesus Christ. Aren't you glad we have a mediator? And who is that mediator between God and us? It's the man, Christ Jesus. He that can relate to us. Amen. He truly can feel your pain this morning. Oh, I said hallelujah. I said hallelujah. I could preach on that a while, but let me just let you hear from the writers of Scripture. Hebrews chapter 2. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same flesh and blood, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil. Why did he take on this flesh? To deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. For verily, listen, these writers got it. He took not on him the nature of angels, but he took on him the seed of Abraham. Wherefore in all things it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren. I said I wouldn't do it, but I got to. Did you catch that right there? He called his brethren. He called his brothers. How can he do that? How can God call his brothers? Because he became one of us. Hallelujah. He became kin in the humanity, in the flesh. He became kin. He said that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. For in that he himself hath suffered being tempted, he is able also to succor them that are tempted. Oh, he's experienced what you go through. I wish somebody would hear me this morning. Amen. I'm not minimizing. In fact, I am maximizing the fact that we humans, we have battles, we have difficulties. Life gets hard. We wrestle with things in our mind. We deal with the emotions in our heart. But he became one of us. And having been one of us and experienced this life, he's able to help us. He can relate. He can help. Oh, aren't you glad? And you can say, Emmanuel, God with us. A little later, this writer said, "For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin." Aren't you glad for that high priest? Hallelujah. Not only did he live as a human, he died as a human. The worst imaginable death, kind of human death. On the cross, As a human, he suffered. As a human, he bled. As a human, he took his last breath. The same writer said, but we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he by the grace of God should taste death for every man. He not only lived as a human, he died as a human. And facing death, he faced what all of us will face. Of course, we know the end of the story. Not only did he experience death, he experienced resurrection. Emmanuel. I said Emmanuel, God with us. Why? The scripture's clear. He became a man to die. Why did he have to die? Because humans had sinned and humans had to pay the price of sin. But none of us, no one in human history could pay that price for sin, because the sacrifice had to be pure, without spot, wrinkle, or sin. So he came as a human. He had no sin of his own to die for. Therefore, he could die for our sin. O Lamb of God, Emmanuel, the sacrifice came amongst us. Last of all, I would emphasize that middle word here. God with us. God with us. You know, the disciples could say that as a historical, geological fact when Jesus was on earth. They could say God is with us. He's right over there. See him? He's sitting on the edge of the boat, or he's talking to that. He's with us. There's a sense we can't say that. And there's a sense that we got to deal with something. Yes, he was with the disciples. And he even said, how many remembers he said to the disciples, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. But wait a minute. He ascended. He left this earth. He ascended to the Father. Did Jesus not keep his word? Is he no longer Emmanuel? He ascended to the Father. Disciples, you're the disciples. I'll be with you to the end of the age. See you later. Bye. But that's not all that he said. Some of you have already anticipated. I heard it through the congregation. He's still Emmanuel. How? Through the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit. If you felt the Spirit of God at any moment in this service, you can lift your hand and say, Emmanuel. He kept his promise. He said, I'd never leave. He is still with us. Amen. Jesus said many things about this, but just a few verses. He said, I'll pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Now listen, this is important. I don't have time to go into it, but he follows that by saying, I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. I will come to you. He wasn't talking about his second return. He wasn't talking about being back in the boat with them and helping with the net. When he said, I will come to you, he was talking about coming to them through this comforter he was sending. This Holy Spirit. Oh, hallelujah. I said, this Holy Spirit. He said it in chapter 16. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It's expedient for you that I go not away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. How is that expedient that Jesus go? Why is it more important to have the Holy Spirit Comforter than Jesus himself? Because when Jesus became flesh, he willingly accepted the limitations of this human body. And I'll tell you something, if he were still here just as a human, he could go home with Mark, but he couldn't go home with Dustin at the same time, because he willingly accepted the limitations of this human body. Amen. He could be in New Lebanon, but not at the same time he was in Centerville. He could be in Ohio, but not at the same time he was in Iowa. But I want to tell you, it's expensive.
expedient for you that I go away. I promise you I'll be with you. But when I go away, I'm sending the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit can be in Africa, Asia, North America. He can be in the Casada house and the Adams house and the Richmond house. And the He is still Emmanuel. He is still God with us.
How many believe He can go home with you this morning? Aren't you thankful for the power of the Holy Spirit? Well, let's just lift a hand and say, Emmanuel. Emmanuel. Hallelujah. You're facing a trial like you've never gone through. Go ahead and say it. Emmanuel. God's with me. You're in the midst of the battle for your mind and soul. Go ahead and say it. Emmanuel. God is with me. You feel all alone in life. Say it. Emmanuel, God is with me. You're facing a medical crisis without medical solutions. Go ahead and say it. Emmanuel, you're facing the trials, whether it's your teen years or your elder years, you're facing the accompanying trials that go with that season of life. Oh, but He's going to walk with you through that season of life. He is Emmanuel, God with us. You can say it. I don't know what it would be in the Hebrew, but you can say He is God with me. He is God with me. Let me talk to you as the people of God just briefly. Whatever the future holds for believers, increase of terrorism, increase of anti-Christian government and populist mentality, an exceedingly wicked world, whatever we're facing in the future, we can still lift our hands by faith. Say, Emmanuel, God with us. Oh, what a... Won't you just let your mind wander, not wander, but wonder. Got a lot of wandering, but let your mind wander for a moment. Emmanuel, God with me. Makes a difference, doesn't it? You don't like that situation you're facing in your home. But that would change. Your attitude would change if you could just say, He's going home with me. He is Emmanuel. Young people, I noticed you worshiping in the earlier part of the service. It thrilled my heart. But did you know He could be Emmanuel in the public school? How many believe that? Oh, hallelujah. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for Thou art with me. Emmanuel. All men forsook me. Nevertheless, the Lord stood with me. Emmanuel. Oh, hallelujah. As the music comes, would you just praise Him for a moment? Hallelujah. Roy said, he'd already spent 15 years in prison, 15 Christmases, but he said this one was worst. Some guard got it in for him, and he got sent to solitary confinement, prison within a prison, for Christmas. He said the only thing he had to look forward to was three times a week they had 5 minutes. They let him out of the cell to take a shower. He said that was it. Nothing else. Nothing to occupy his mind. He had a Bible. He said on Christmas Eve, I was reading the Bible. He said, I happened to be at that location about Paul and Silas, and you know how they praise God at midnight in spite of being in prison. He said, I read that, and then they turned the lights out on us, and he said, I was lying back on my bunk, and I was thinking to myself, is there any way I could be like Paul and Silas and praise God in a place like this? He said there was an air vent above his little sink there, and he heard the guy in the next cell, whose name was Andrew. Roy, are you there? Roy said, yeah, Andrew, I'm here. Andrew said, Roy, do you know any Christmas carols? Roy said, yeah, I know a few.
Andrew said, I tell you what, let's do. I'll sing the first Christmas carol. When I get through, you sing the next, okay? Roy said, oh, okay. Beginning to see that, isn't that ironic? He'd just been asking, can I sing like Paul and Silas? And now the guy in the next cell is asking to sing. Andrew started, he started singing, joy to the world. Knew every verse, sang every verse. He said, all right, Roy, it's your turn. And Roy sang, oh, come all you faithful. And then it was Andrew's time, and he sang Silent Night. By that time, others could hear on that block, and they began to join in. He said they went back and forth, singing Christmas carols up into the night. And he said somewhere towards the end, when they were running out of Christmas carols, Andrew said, I've got one more I can remember. The other guys really didn't know the words, but a special moment came, so they just went silent anyway. But Andrew began to sing, O Holy Night, stars are brightly shining. Roy said when he began to sing that and the quietness filled that quad there, he said, all of a sudden, I understood what the word Emmanuel meant. He said, because I realized in the middle of my confinement on Solitary Row, he said, I realized God was in that cell. God had come into that cell with me. And he said, I realized on that Christmas Eve what Emmanuel meant, because God truly visited me. Hallelujah. We know he can, but if God can make it by those kind of bars, he can make it through some other kind of bars that you might have constructed on your heart and mind. Emmanuel, God with us, redeeming us. His name is called Emmanuel. Would you stand and praise him for it? Would you worship him? Hallelujah. Oh, come on, let's praise him. Come on, let's praise him. Emmanuel, God with us, revealed in us. His name is called Emmanuel. Oh, God. Oh, God. What about it? You got any song to sing? Can God really show up in your solitary confinement? Can he really show up in your situation? Preacher, you don't know how dark it is in my life right now. He's Emmanuel. He's God with us. Oh, hallelujah. Aren't you glad nobody had to force him to live in this mess? He just came and lived in it to save us from this mess. Let me tell you, the only way we're going to get help from God is just be honest. You're not doubting God. You just need to know it for a certainty for yourself that God is in your situation. How many needs a new awareness that God is in your situation? That God is the Emmanuel of your life, your need. Listen, there's hearts this morning. You need him. You need him. You need that renewed awareness that God is in the midst of your situation. Maybe your heart, maybe your mind, maybe your home. You just need to know once again, he's Emmanuel. I'm going to pray, and then I'm just going to ask you to come if this is you. You need the Holy Spirit to make you aware this morning, not in a general sense, not for all humanity, but for you. He is Emmanuel. Not just God with us. He's God with me. You need that. And as soon as I get through praying, if that's you, you'll just be honest. I need that awareness this morning by the power of the Holy Spirit. I want you to begin to fill these altars. Holy Spirit, I pray right now that you would come and do what only you can do. Move upon our hearts. Let us have that awareness that God is with us. Holy God, righteous God, redeeming God, loving God, caring God, merciful God. Hallelujah, is with us. You've not forsaken us. You've not left us, but you are with us. Lord, I pray for that one that's never surrendered their life to you.
What a dismal cell of darkness and bondage. But Lord, like you came into Roy's cell, you can come into that heart and they can leave saying, God is with me. Now, Lord, move across this congregation. Lord, I ask you, I beseech you, Lord, to move by your Holy Spirit. Go beyond the words of this message and bring about an awareness in people's hearts that you are truly Emmanuel, the one true and living eternal God. And yet you became flesh and you're amongst us this morning. Thank you, Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen. You need to have that awareness this morning. He's Emmanuel in your life, in your situation. Would you come and begin to fill this altar? Younger, older, you just say, I need an awareness in my heart that he is Emmanuel. I need that. I've got to have that. Amen. Who's going to join these that are coming? I just need it this morning. I need it with what I'm up against. I need it with what I'm facing. I need to know that he's Emmanuel. The Holy Spirit will do that in your heart. The Holy Spirit will do that in your heart. Oh, hallelujah. Won't you let the Holy Spirit do that work on your heart? You don't have to leave this altar without knowing he is Emmanuel. His name is called. Hallelujah. Would you praise him this morning? Would you reach out to him? Let Jesus be Jesus in your life. Emmanuel. You can leave here saying, God is with me. God is with me. God is with me. Emmanuel. Wouldn't you just pray it this morning? Emmanuel. Emmanuel.
It's God with us, redeeming us. They called his name.
Oh, hallelujah. Emmanuel. Won't you just call him that as you pray? Emmanuel, I need you. Emmanuel, help me. Emmanuel, be present in my life through the power of your Holy Spirit.